So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, John, in the thinking pose there.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Ooh, that's your quota, probably.
Okay.
It's just shit afternoons now.
Now, Steve.
Shit afternoon.
What are we talking about this afternoon on Flicks and That?
We're going to have a chat about a film called Pieces of a Woman that is a new-to-Netflix drama. This arrived on Netflix on Friday night. It's the sort of film that... its release has been heavily disrupted in the age of COVID. It's very much a film festival type affair, mm-hmm. And a film where some of the performances will be definitely be talked about come awards season, which I guess is probably going to be an awards season that happens on Zoom.
How strategic are movies when it comes to awards season?
That's a great question. Well, we're seeing at the minute, you see release dates kind of try and shuffle around a little bit, particularly in New Zealand, because a lot of these films, you might notice there's a glut of kind of Oscar films that will come out just before or just after the Academy Awards here in New Zealand.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not in the States for like 6 months by that time. Mm. So as far as we go, because we're kind of so far down the pecking order, you know, the release of particularly like a festival type film, they may hold that. Distributors may hold that here to capitalize on Oscar buzz.
Right.
So an example of that would be Minari, which is an American drama which opens here in early February. I think that's kind of just been nudging closer and closer to sort of Golden Globes Oscar time in the schedule, so that you know, any of that good news helps put bums on seats.
It will be a weirdly online thing, won't it?
I think so. Yeah. The red carpet will be a bit strange. Anyway, that's not what it's about. It's about the bloody movies, of course.
And none of them are going to show up an hour early to do a rapid testing thing. Like, you've got your funny outfit on.
The mind boggles. maybe E's, ETV's 360 dress cam may not get much use this year. But Pieces of a Woman, this stars Vanessa Kirby. She plays a expectant mother who loses her baby during a harrowing home birth, and then spends the rest of the movie, trying to like get through the next year, really. There's a kind of legal drama aspect, there's family drama elements, there's a relationship meltdown with her partner. But really, you're just kind of left shaken as a viewer, because this home birth scene starts maybe 5 minutes or so into the film.
Wow.
We're going to get into some minor spoilers here, so if it's a film you don't want to know about, then switch off. But
let us know really, your home birth experiences as well.
Yeah,
no, a lot of people actually do it.
Let's do that. Hopefully not as bad as this one.
I know. Okay,
but what we're going to talk about today is really like what this film is being discussed for and why people have been gravitating towards it. Mm. So hopefully it's not really too much of a ruiner for anyone out there. So a few minutes into this film, Kirby's in the kitchen and... her partner's timing her contractions, seems like baby's on the way. Then over the course of the next 24 minutes, a single unbroken shot occurs that follows her from this like very early stages of her birth through a really grueling shitter that ends in the death of her baby. And it is real tough viewing.
It must be the pinnacle to aim for as an actor, to the one shot. Like, to nail the one shot. That's got to be one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, so I guess...
well, for everyone, I suppose.
Like, you know, it's something that obviously happens. It happens in the theatre constantly, but that's without a crew of people and technical elements to the same extent, like, right by your...
Oh, it's quite a small movie, in that sense?
Well, in this instance, the scene takes place in an apartment.
Right.
So there's lots of... The camera's very... there's a lot of camera movement in this. People are going from room to room. So it's a very choreographed scene. And that's, you know, that's kind of where this type of shot has really ended up. When it originated, there were all these limitations, lots of technical limitations. Cameras were freaking enormous.
Sure.
The shot could only go for so long because they could only hold so much film.
Yep.
But now with digital, it's like made things a lot easier. And I think as it is quite a gimmicky technique to use, like a lot of filmmakers use it as their most show-offy parts of their movie.
People talk about it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
How often is it getting used nowadays? I just sort of think of True Detective in that first season when there's that big sort of action single shot? I mean, is it quite frequently used?
Seems like it, eh? Like a recent example was, and as you say, Hungry, it's like it's what people kind of chat about the film. So the Chris Hemsworth action movie Extraction from last year was kind of okay. It was like serviceable action movie. Yep. Nothing to.
We're about to have an argument there.
Hugely upset someone that watches a bunch of action movies, right? Totally. Like it's perfectly. You'd be perfectly happy renting it from the video store in the olden days, and been like,
was
oh,
that,
that's right.
That was based in a different country. That one, eh?
Yeah.
It reminded me of the one Owen Wilson did in Thailand, where he goes to as like an oil business
behind enemy lines.
It's really that's a good movie, man. It's hectic.
Extraction had a 12-minute.
Is that on the bridge? He's on the bridge.
No, it's like going through an apartment building, and there's a fight on the street. So these are known as long takes or continuous shots, but more recently they've come to be known as one-er. O-N-E-R, the one-er.
The one-er.
Because, everyone wants to talk in film lingo. So
get ready for the one-er, everyone. We're going to the one-er.
And the one-er and Extraction, showing how they're put together now, that was shot over 10 days and, like, stitched together really cleverly. Yeah, well, they've been cheating these things for yonks.
Excuse me.
So,
what? Did they cheat the Children of Men one?
Yeah, probably.
Fuck, I'm leaving.
Probably. Like, I mean, the cheating started really early on because back in the 40s, Hitchcock made a film called Rope.
Just got that text in saying Rope by Hitchcock.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that film purports to be one single shot. So he used the full, film magazine possible length and individual shots
and then started again at the same
exactly
point.
So you like find a static place to arguable. Stop the camera on and move it, and theoretically you don't really notice that much as an audience member if it's edited well. And then there's a lot of other things you can use, like just the way the camera moves. So like you look for things like a camera moving from one room to another, so there's a seam, or an actor leaving the shot. A whip pan is also another one, like the kit where there'd be a rapid camera spin. You see a few times in the start of Brian De Palma's Snake Eyes, where Nicolas Cage is like in full cage mode.
Know exactly what you mean.
And just kind of he's moving around, the camera's moving a lot, but there's these moments where you go like, that's probably where it got put together. Yeah, yeah. But if you're looking for that stuff, that's kind of ruins the point, right?
Totally.
Like you kind of want this thing to be seamless because you're using it for
it
one of a number of different reasons. Some of the probably most effective ones aren't that long. Like think about the tricycle scene from The Shining following Danny Torrance around the hallway, and that's not that long of a shot, but it's longer than the traditional editing rhythm would be. So I think that's why like it has an impact. But the advent of Steadicam, which is how that was shot, made a really big difference as well, because you know you've got a much more graceful swooping camera carrying out these moves.
It's kind of a bold move in the sort of age of music video type films being made, where it's just keep you watching the fucking screen with all these changes, you know. So
and on the other hand, you've got like the OK Go end of the music video spectrum, where that kind of doing something for 4 minutes might have arguably lost its uniqueness to some extent. But this one in Pieces of a Woman, this is intended to put you in a space. You're really very much like in the environment with this couple and their midwife, and it's an acting showcase. So going back to Children of Men, which you mentioned before, there's a few examples in that film of these long continuous shots and arguably like a bit of tinkering going on with them. But they're probably more about putting you in the frantic middle of the chaotic times in that film.
Yeah, won't let you cut away from it. You're in it with the person. That's
absolutely. And
just had texting going, oh yo, I was birthed at home and I'm fully weird, so don't do it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that turned out.
And that's quite good because the same person's asking if you only review stuff on Netflix.
Turned out better than in this movie.
They're totally weird. So don't
now worry. This movie also stars Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
Oh, seems to be doing a lot more drama nowadays. Yeah. No more Transformers.
I watched Peanut Butter Falcon the other day.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's so really good film. Really so good film. It's really unfortunate. If you feel like you want further insight into his personality, he wrote a fantastic film called Honey Boy, which was about his life as a child actor, and you get a sense. It's a really autobiographical tale. He plays his own dad.
Oh, wow.
And it shows how
great.
Fucked up his upbringing is, which, you know, doesn't give license for the behavior he has been multiply accused of and has broadly admitted.
What are his shenanigans, roughly?
Well,
I don't know. I have no idea.
Highly abusive relationship, threats of self-harm, threats of violence. Mm-hmm.
He seems like a complex fella.
Yeah. And so Honey Boy will give you some insight into that. Whether you want to look too closely or not, I'm not sure. If you are not on board LaBeouf at this point.
LaBeouf?
Pieces of a Woman's going to be a bit tough because he is very prominent in this film. And I think probably it's going to be the last that we really see of him for a little while.
Because of a broad shunning? Or
yeah, well, it's pretty bad. I mean, he's, you know...
Because he did that...
When your ex-partner files a lawsuit against you about years of severe abuse, then probably not going to get many jobs. Netflix removed him from...
Did that just recently come to light?
Late last year, FKA Twigs filed papers against
him. He recently did that thing of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, was it?
Yeah, that was just when the window was closing on him. he would have been put forward by Netflix for Oscar consideration, but has been removed from that chat completely.
Sheet.
But also in this film, Ellen Burstyn, she already has an Oscar. She plays Vanessa Kirby's mum, and I think she's probably going to be part of that chat as well. The film itself, not amazing, despite these great elements. It's really hard for it to live up to the first, 30-40 minutes of the film. That you're reeling from the birth tragedy the whole time.
Wow.
And it doesn't quite sustain. But performance is great if you want to see some top drawer acting and can handle something that's a bit it's a bit harrowing, really. As I think about it, it was not nice sitting in front of.
Just on that.
How do you recommend that? Yeah, summer movie.
I've got to recommend though, just on that top shelf acting, Uncle Frank. Fantastic movie. I don't want to talk about it too much because it's one you should just watch.
It's not on Netflix though, so maybe we should even the scales.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, good. I see. Right.
Sweet. Oh, Pete wants to do the surf at some point, so that's good.
Cool. I think it's good to revisit this kind of gimmicky filmmaking technique. I'd be remiss not to mention Martin Scorsese's incredible Goodfellas scene where Ray Liotta goes through the Copacabana and. That's really kind of a pretty show-offy one. Paul Thomas Anderson pulls them out as well. Listeners, let us know what your favourite one is. There's a bunch.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't been switched on to this technique too much. The Children of Men one was the only one I really consciously was like, whoa, what, man, they're just sticking with this.
Yeah, and look, it's going to get more and more common. I think digital filmmaking for mobility and post-production makes it easier. Gravity opens with a 17-minute shot.
Time lapse, that's a one shot in a sense, that's sped up.
Yeah. And then there's...
It's called a fast one.
I think if the camera's not moving, there are also examples of static camera that just rolls for ages. And I think that's, again, kind of quite a theatrical sense or putting the focus on performances and not screaming, this is a movie. But mostly this technique is to scream at you, I am an incredible director, and look what I can do.
Look at all my minions. Somebody's saying Birdman, is there one in there?
Yeah, that's presented as, in theory, a continuous single-take film in its entirety.
Oh,
so
wow, okay.
Some of those sequences are long. And
24?
Well,
I gotta go.
A lot of editing, mate, a lot of editing.
24 fucking cameras.
I reckon, go back and watch that from the start and...
Really?
See how many cuts you can... Just count all the cuts in the entire series and come back to me.
I do like the split screen stuff where they're like, what's things going on?
Indeed. Well, sir, you should be watching more Brian De Palma films.
Okay, good. Let me write that down.
Good on.
Sweet. Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure, mate.
Indeed. Next week we'll have a chat about the Stephen King adaptation The Stand, which is coming to telly and not Netflix.
Victoria, the whole movie was one shot.
Great example. That's modern...
Texter, thank you.
Modern technology enabling you to make a film at iPhone level. It's
proud of you guys out there doing all the cool stuff. Proud of you. John? You proud of them too?
Yeah, good one.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.